Hello. Hi, everyone. My name is Erin. Welcome to Media and Lady Talks. This has been our special bonus series with my collaborator, Dr. Ellen Wong. We're talking all about happiness, the happiness framework, and the how to build foundations for a generally happy, balanced life. Today is part 7. We're talking about the letter E is for emotional resiliency. When it comes to emotional resiliency, we're trying to weather the ups and downs of life with grace and ease. And I know this one is definitely for me something that I'm always reflecting back on. When I think about the challenges or the things, the ups and downs in my life, I don't always find grace. I don't always find ease when I'm looking back. Ellen, tell us more about emotional resiliency when it comes to happiness.
The first thing I would like to share is that I feel like I need another word because, and you've shared some of your thoughts around this, is that like sometimes I feel like we've turned this idea of resiliency into like, you have to be tough and you have to like fight through it and you've got to like make it work. And I definitely went through a phase of my life where I felt like that was what being emotionally resilient is.
Sort of Teflon person.
Yeah. I feel like my feeling around it has changed and adapted even like since I created this framework years ago. Like I need another word and I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I have a lot of thoughts on that. And I wonder if it's because we both come from healthcare. So post-pandemic, without a doubt, the word resilience has become a dirty word. People are like, don't talk to me about resilience. Don't suggest resilience. Don't post about resilience. Don't encourage my resilience. I don't want to hear about resilience. I've made it through the worst 4 years of my career taking care of people during the pandemic. Yeah. I've stood the test of time. I've endured respect and disrespect from the public. Don't talk to me about resilience. I'm not using that as a tool in my toolkit to navigate the ups and downs of life. And I do think resilience is starting to get a bad rap because it has been sort of like, well, just you have to be resilient is what you have to do to. But resilience shows up, I think, in a lot of different ways. And I think resilience, the definition of resilience is about what are you doing physically and psychologically? We could even say emotionally, spiritually, mentally, what are you doing in order to be okay with the current circumstances? And for a lot of people, that comes down to three choices. It comes down to stay and continue. The second choice is stay and change. And the third choice is leave the situation or abandon the situation, right? And I think in a lot of ways, people who might have chosen to leave a situation were sort of seen as if you give up, you're not resilient. But really, if what you have to do is leave a situation in order to preserve your physical and psychological well-being, then that is resilient. That is a very resilient thing to do. So I think it's that we've gotten a little bit turned around and it has sort of been used to kind of manipulate certain workforces. And I think given the fact that we're both in healthcare, that's my little TED talk on resilience. But without having another word at this moment, and we're sort of thinking about beyond healthcare, we're thinking beyond the workplace, I think resilience is definitely tied to the first pillar, which is health. I've shared that I live with anxiety. Anxiety is inevitable, but overwhelm is optional. I try to think about that in the context of my resiliency, is I'm not trying to cure my anxiety. I'm not trying to suffer from my anxiety, but I am trying to realize that there's an experience of anxiety and then there's a choice to let some things really batter me down, really, really, really bog me down and to really get me into a place of feeling really, really bad about having anxiety. And I think that's when I think about emotional resiliency, it's about saying I'm in a down moment. And I can still handle a down moment of suffering with grace and self-compassion on myself, acknowledging that on the other side of a down moment is a better moment, you know? And that to me is the emotional resiliency is more about acceptance than it is about forcing a specific outcome.
I love that you shared that. It did help me think of another word. Maybe.
Oh, great. Yeah. Okay.
Maybe I need to rename it as like emotional adaptability. Maybe that's the word. Or like fluidity.
Flexibility.
Yeah, flexibility, fluidity. Yep. Because
– regulation.
Yeah. Ooh. Ooh. Oh, I like that one.
Oh. I know. Okay.
because you're right. Because the last 4 years, everybody, healthcare or not healthcare – I think healthcare definitely got hit quite hard. But a lot of like, you know, brick and mortar stores and resilience to me feels like there's an element of toughness.
Yeah.
And I think toughness serves us sometimes. But there's never like a black and white and, you know, there's never one solution. So I don't think being tough is always the right solution. I think there's moments where we got to like gather our strength and be tough and, you know, but then there's definitely an equal amount of weight in my mind and benefit for what we might feel is the opposite of toughness, which is just ease and flow. And I mean, if I had to describe it, one feels like a masculine energy and one feels like a more feminine energy, as we typically kind of think about those stereotypical feelings around that.
Sure.
And I think when you're only tough, you're still bound to break. Mm. It's, you know what came to my mind? You know what happens when you stick an elastic band in the freezer for too long and it just snaps? Or if it's like really, like it's overly hot and the elasticity just like... Mm-hmm. breaks and so it snaps like the whole elastic. That's what it feels like. I feel like when you're way too tough and all you can think about is tough situations, it's like the elastic band being in the freezer for too long. It like in theory, it looks like it's still holding that whatever bag you have it around together. But the minute you touch it, it breaks.
Yeah. But it's also about recognizing that like the elastic could be in the freezer for a certain period of time. Mm-hmm. You could be tough for a certain period mm-hmm. of time. But then as you regulate and adapt, and maybe adaptability is that phrasing that you're talking about, is that if you adapt from that freezer temperature, then you move to something that's room temperature or something that's a little bit warm or something that's wet, mm-hmm. something that's dry, mm-hmm. then you maintain your elasticity to adapt to those ups and downs. Mm-hmm. And you also return your flexibility, you return to the normal shape of an elastic with less struggle, with less friction, with less time sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. I the more we talk about this, the more I feel like I do want to change this because there is so much benefit to grace and ease and that fluidity mm-hmm, mm-hmm. versus just bulldozing and being tough. And isn't that how we get burnt out? Is like you just keep trying to toughen up and go through it. And like I think there's an element of letting go isn't quite the right word. But yeah, softening sometimes mm-hmm. is a better approach. You know what? This is also related to parenting. Because when you are like tough and you're always like using that, not harsher, but like more of like a tough approach to your child. And it's strict and mm-hmm. it's only has to be this way. And, you know, tighter discipline, like that kind of stuff. Sometimes it doesn't work. Sometimes you just have to let some things go and approach it from a very like gentle perspective where you are trying to understand where they're coming from. And you're trying to be like empathetic and see it from their perspective. And I find that with mm-hmm. my daughter, like if I sit down with her and, you know, pull her in, give her a hug, or just try to understand and be there for her and let her express her emotions, whatever that feels like, instead of just telling her what she did was not okay and wrong and how she should do it instead. Like, I find that the message gets through to her easier.
But isn't that how you want to treat yourself?
Yeah, good point.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's in some ways, it's maybe to go back to your elastic analogy, it is like emotional elasticity. Like it's your ability to stretch to a broader set of emotional circumstances without panicking and burning out and gritting your teeth and white knuckling it through mm-hmm. life. It's an ability to say, in the hard times, we find capacity emotionally. Mm. In the good times, we also find capacity emotionally. Because that's something I also find is that sometimes that emotional resiliency is not just about navigating the downs, mm. but it's also about embodying and celebrating and experiencing the ups. I see so many women online achieve incredible milestones, and the first thing they say is, it hasn't yet sunk in. And I think that happens in parenthood too. Parenting is a beautiful thing. Motherhood is an incredible gift. And a lot of the time, because we're white knuckling it and we're experiencing this really strict kind of tight emotional elasticity, that we actually can't expand to fully encompass the joy of parenting because we worry about enjoying it too much and spoiling our kids. We worry about what people will think if we are so crazy about celebrating our kids that we're bragging about them. Or we, you know, we kind of like put emotional rigidity, we put emotional bumper pads around not just the bad, but the good too.
The way you just described it is perfect. I think there has to be, maybe I should just term it emotional elasticity. I feel like there is an element of, and you said like people focus on weathering the downs a lot more than focusing on celebrating the wins. I think we downplay all of our wins too. If the tough times in our life is what empties our cup, then it stands to reason that we should be filling our cup with the good times, but we have a tendency not to. We don't want to. And we compare ourselves that our win is smaller than other people's wins. So therefore, it's not worth celebrating. So easy for us to pour out from our cup and talk about, not talk about, but like feel the downs and like focus on those. So I guess if we're following with this analogy, it's almost like the best way to navigate our emotional, whatever we want to call it, is to make sure that we take the time to fill our cups. I mean, there's a lot to explore. Like, I feel like we just opened up this whole thing, but
I think we did. And I'll maybe end on one last thing, which is you mentioned burnout before. And I think resilience was sort of used to be sort of used as this sort of accusation against burnout. If you came to someone and you were talking about your burnout, the explanation was, well, you have to find a way to learn to be more resilient so you don't get burnt out. But in reality, it's what you talk about, which is pouring and refilling the same vessel, right? Because you're you. The vessel that is you can only change so much. It's really not that malleable until you sort of apply your mindset to the situation that you're in. And so if you think about the hard times pouring out of your cup and then not activating enough of the good feelings to refill your cup, then you just end up pouring the next time from a less full cup. And that's what happens when you get burnt out, is you pour from your cup is empty, you don't get enough to refill it. And then the next time you have to pour from your cup, there's less in it. And that happens time over time over time. And eventually, every time something hard happens, you're pouring from an empty cup and you end up burnt out. So again, I love this visualization, and hopefully that's helping the audience. Final thoughts on this one, Ellen. It's good. It's good. And I appreciate you sharing with the audience that while a lot of the framework is really baked, that things are always open to change as we learn more about ourselves and as we talk more about our ideas and our frameworks and the things that are powerful to help change in other people. What are your final thoughts on this one?
My final thoughts is that if we took that container you were just sharing about emptying and pouring, and if we stuck it in the freezer as our way of bulldozing and being resilient, it would still crack. That's what I'm ending on. I'm bringing it back to
that. There you go. All right. That was letter E. E is for emotional. So E technically is for emotional resiliency, but I think what we're really talking about is your ability to ebb and flow. And so it's emotional elasticity. We've used the word adaptability. We've used the word regulation.
Which one feels best to you?
Well, I mean, I think I'd have to think about it. I really like your elastic metaphor, you know, emotional elasticity. I think emotional flexibility, I think that that is something people can welcome, and I think would draw a lot of people into this. So I want to encourage you to go ahead and download Ellen's happiness guide, which is linked in the show notes. We've been encouraging you to follow us on Instagram, but I'm going to actually encourage you to reach out to us on Instagram. We want to hear from you. We'd love it if you'd hop in our DMs and let us know how you're doing and what you're thinking about this mini series, how is it helping you to conceptualize and understand the concept of happiness within your own life? We are wrapping up the final two pillars of the happiness framework. We're going to move on to part 8, which is S is for social connection. Thanks, everyone. We'll talk to you later. Bye.